So glad that you are able to be with us today. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever had that nagging feeling like you were forgetting something? Can you relate to Mrs. McAllister? You know Kevin McAllister's mom from Home Alone? And she's on that plane and she's thinking, I've forgotten something. And her husband's trying to talk her down. No, of course, maybe it was a toaster that you forgot to unplug. Maybe we left the lights on. I'm sure it's nothing. You remember that? Right? I remember one time back in the day when our kids were really little, we used to travel to my in-laws every year for Christmas. We would go to the late night Christmas Eve service at our church where we were, and we would pack up our kids, and we'd make the hour and a half trip to our in-laws' house. And when they were little, anyone with little kids, you know little kids come with lots of luggage, don't they? Right? So I remember Christmas Eve in the afternoon before the service, I would pack up our minivan. Anyone in the minivan stage of life right now? I thought I would never do the minivan. I thank God for the minivan because we had luggage and suitcases. We had diaper bags. We had extra diapers. We had like play pens and we had snow suits for tobogganing, all the stuff that you needed for 2 days at grandma's house. Right? And on top of that, we had all the gifts. And so we went to church that night and we did Christmas Eve. We made the hour and a half trip to our house. We got there late. Our kids were already sleeping in the car. We carried them one by one, put them to bed. Christmas Eve, brought in all the luggage, all the snowsuits, all the Christmas presents. And I had this sneaking suspicion all evening, like, I'm forgetting something. And as I brought everything in and we put the presents under the tree, I realized what it was. I forgot to bring Holly's Christmas presents. I brought everything else but her stuff. And she was so kind and gracious, as you know. She said, oh, you know what, Jared, don't worry about it. It's fine. I don't need anything to open Christmas Day while everyone else is opening their... No. She didn't say it like that. She was being genuine. Like, it's fine. It's fine. Right? It's fine. But let me tell you, her name is Holly Noel. She was born on Christmas Eve. Christmas is her favorite. There was no way I was going to let her tell me it was fine because I knew somewhere in time it would come back up again. So I got back in the van and I made the 3-hour round trip to make sure she had something to open on Christmas Eve. You hear that nagging? It's funny, right? Ever had someone tell you, like, don't forget? And now it's worse because now you know you're forgetting, but there's something you're not supposed to forget, right? Memory is really funny that way. Have you ever looked at pictures and you're like, I remember that like it was just yesterday? Then you look at other pictures and you're like, oh, I'd forgotten about that, but now the picture reminds me. And have you ever looked at a picture and you're like, I don't remember that at all, right? Like, memory's funny that way. A wise man once said, as you get older, there's three things that happen to you. And the first one is that you forget. And then I forget what the other two are. You know, the scriptures talk a lot about remembering and reflecting. It talks about, especially in threshold seasons, right? Threshold seasons, seasons of transition, as you're on the edge of a new season, as you're crossing over, there's certain seasons of life where you get reminiscing about the past. And you get thinking about the future. I wonder if there's anyone here that you're in a threshold season, crossing over into something new, and you're anticipating the future. We have reflection of the accomplishments and the growth and the regrets. We have reflection on God's faithfulness of the past, and we look forward with expectation to the opportunity, to the possibility, and to the breakthrough that lie in front of us. Well, we're in week 3 of a series we're calling Strong and Courageous. We've been going through the book of Joshua together. And in week 1, we saw God's command to be strong and courageous. Do you remember why we can be strong and courageous? Remember week 1, we said you can be courageous because God keeps his promises, doesn't he? In week 2, we looked last week at the story of Rahab, and we talked about the fact that we aren't gatekeepers of the gospel, but we are grace sharers because we truly believe that God is still drawing the outsider in and rewriting their stories from the inside out. We're going to build wells and not fences as a church, right? But now we come to Joshua 3. And Israel, this is a threshold moment for them. They're on the brink of a new season. A new chapter. We've been talking as a church that we are on the brink of a new season. We're about to cross over our 100th birthday in just a few months. But it feels like God has something new that he is birthing here at Bethel and in the Okanagan. We want to look to the past in reflection of God's faithfulness. We want to look to the future with expectation. So Israel, they literally find themselves back at the same place their ancestors had been only 40 years earlier. And they're standing on the bank of the Jordan River looking across. They can see the promised land. Only 40 years earlier, Israel had been in the same place. Freed from slavery, God had led them to enter and take possession of the promised land. But when it came time for action, they were frozen in fear. They had that paralysis of analysis. Have you ever had that? They're overthinking, and in this moment, they froze. Deuteronomy 1:26 says, "But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you refused to go in. You complained in your tents and said, 'The Lord must hate us.'" Have you ever been following God and had a moment like, "God, do you hate me right now? Why did you bring me here?" That's why he brought us here from Egypt, to hand us over to the Amorites to be slaughtered. Where can we go? Our brothers have demoralized us with their report. Last week, we talked about the fact that they were afraid to take their next step of obedience because they saw themselves as too small. And we talked about how we can't, when we compare ourselves against our giants, we always freeze in fear, but we're supposed to be comparing our giants to our God. We spend so much time thinking what's wrong with me instead of thinking what's right with God. Deuteronomy 1:30 says, "The Lord your God is going ahead of you. He will fight for you just as you saw him in Egypt. And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness, just as a father cares for his children. Now he has brought you to this place, but even after all he did, you refused to trust the Lord your God who goes before you." So that had been the outcome 40 years on that first go around. And the result had been that Israel had wandered in the desert. They died off in the desert, unable to go into God's promised land. But now we're here 40 years later, and things are different. Joshua and the people are filled with faith that the Lord will give them this land, and they have this courage to confront whatever the challenge might be. Have you ever noticed that it's not always that it's not the circumstances that God changes? You know, sometimes it's just the attitude of your heart. It's a perspective. You have boldness and courage and faith. It's like the same scenario, but refreshed resolve. Have you ever had that? Same scenario, but refreshed resolve. And so God had raised up a new generation who are determined to follow God wherever and however he led, no matter the difficulty. So the circumstances hadn't changed, but their hearts had. So we come to Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 today. It says, "Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove, and they arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out. Move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you." Then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." I want to tell you this morning that unknown territory is often part of God's plan. That's why we call it a faith journey. Right, if you knew already what your life would entail, if you knew already how life would unfold, there wouldn't be any faith required. Paul writes that we live by faith and not by sight. Martin Luther King put it this way. He said, "Faith is taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase." And it's not that God's deceptive. It's not that he's holding back on the hard stuff. You know, "I'm just going to bury this in the fine print. You know, I'll get you to sign up at the altar, you know, not knowing how hard things will be." He's not deceptive, but he is selective. Because he knows how much you're capable of, but he also knows what you can handle at the time. See, it's God's grace that he lets us grow into our faith. Are you thankful for that? That he lets you grow into your faith. Following God into the unknown is half the fun. How many are thankful? How many have ever thought to yourself, I never would have pictured myself here. Never would have pictured myself doing this. I never would have pictured myself with these people. I've met some of you, you're new to Bethel. You're like, I never pictured myself at church. Since you've never traveled this way before, they will guide you. I want to encourage you today, when you don't know the path, follow his presence. When you don't know the path forward, pursue God's presence. When you don't know what to do, lean into God's presence. Have you ever had you talking to someone and you said to them, I don't know where I'm going? And they said, well, follow me. Some of you are here this morning. It's your first time at church. And you walked in and said, I don't know where I'm going. One of our wonderful hosts said, follow me. Let me take you to the kids' check-in. Let me show you where the coffee is. Let me show you where we're going. Follow me. See, the Ark of the Covenant represented the very presence of God. Exodus 25 talks about its construction. It's a wooden box, 4x2x2. And it was overlaid inside and out with pure gold. And it had these golden rings on it that they would put poles through for the priest to carry it. And the ark, the lid of it was called the atonement cover or the mercy seat. It was made of pure gold. And on its lid, there were two cherubim with wings outstretched guarding the top of the ark. And this is what it says in Exodus 25. It speaks of its significance to Israel. God said, I will meet you with you there, and I will talk to you from above the atonement cover between the golden cherubim that hover over the Ark of the Covenant. From there, I will give you my commands for the people of Israel. The Ark was the place that God said he would meet with the people and speak to them. It literally represented the Lord's presence and leading among the people. And so Joshua's instruction is clear. He says, when you see the ark being carried out, when you see it move, you move. When you see God's presence, when you see God move, you move. Pursue God's presence and respond to his leading. You know, as New Testament believers, I'm so glad to tell you today that God no longer takes up space in arks or on temples. He actually says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means you are literally never without the presence of God in your life. You always have God's leading and speaking in your heart. How do we pursue that in our day? Francis Chan says this, if I stop pursuing God, I'm letting our relationship deteriorate. We never grow closer to God when we just live life. It takes deliberate pursuit and attentiveness. I love that. Just want to be casual about the presence of God in my life. Even though he lives and indwells me, I still want to lean into that relationship, pursuing presence with God, speaking to God, asking him, how are you leading me in this moment? Joshua 3:14 continues. It says, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. It was flood season. The river was swollen and overflowing. Do you guys remember a few years ago? I wasn't here yet, but I heard that Lake Okanagan flooded. It was overflowed its banks. Anyone remember that a few years ago? Yeah, right? Anyone ever had a flood in your basement? It's terrible. Terrible. The Jordan is flooded and overflowing. It's not like they didn't know. I mean, they knew they needed to cross it. But now the water is deeper and raging faster than it has ever been before. I ever talk about unfortunate timing? Like literally, they probably show up on the banks of the river and they're like, all right, let's go in the promised land. We know it's going to be a challenge. And they get to the river and they're like, come on. Seriously? 40 years we've been waiting in the wilderness and today we show up at the Jordan and it's flood season. Like God, the timing couldn't have been worse. Right, we should have got here during the drought. Right, we should have got here during the, you know, I don't even know what the year was back then, but you know, 1982. Right, remember the drought of 1982? Water would have been low. I don't know if you ever worked up the courage to tackle one challenge. You're like, okay, I gotta get myself psyched up for this. I gotta confront this, and then you arrive to the challenge, and there's unforeseen obstacles. right? You know how demoralizing that is? Like, come on, we can do this. We're going to cross the Jordan. And they're like, come on, man. Maybe you worked up the nerve to confront your past failures, to pursue healing for your hurt. Maybe you want to make amends for your regrets and mistakes. Maybe there's a risk that you're finally ready. God, I'm going to step out. And then all of a sudden there's unknown and unforeseen obstacles. Taking possession of the promised land was going to be hard enough, but now just getting there was going to be a challenge. Verse 15 says, as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up at a great distance away at a town called Adam. It's funny that it backed up at a town called Adam. It's just, okay, Lord. Convenient. Which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. And just to give you some perspective, we're talking about 2 million people at this point. How much luggage and snowsuits and how many minivans is that carrying? But God makes a way where there's no way, where there is no way. But I want us to notice the sequence of events. As soon as the priest's feet touched the water. See, pursuing the promises and the calling of God, I've said this before, I often picture it like going to the grocery store. You ever gone to the grocery store and the doors are there, right? They're closed in front of you and you walk up to them. It's not until you're right in front of them that they open, those motion sensor doors. I think sometimes when we're pursuing the calling of God on our life and the promises of God, it's like that the doors seem closed until we take steps towards them and they open. Breakthrough really rarely begins while we're sitting on the sidelines waiting for circumstances to change. Someone needs to know that today. You've been waiting for the circumstances to change, but it doesn't happen until you take the step of faith. Breakthrough really happens until we've taken steps of faith in obedience to God's word. Would you say amen if you've experienced that in your own life? See, often we're tempted to say, God, show me a sign, and then I'll take a step. God, would you give me an experience, and then I'll believe you. God, would you do a miracle, and then I'll follow you. Right? We make these deals with God. God, if you do this, then I will. That's not how mature faith works. That's immature faith. I think God sometimes meets us there because he wants to grow our faith. But here's what we got to realize, that the miracle comes in the middle of obedience. And that's what we see here. We want to sit in safety until we see the miracle taking shape. God, I'm just going to hang back until I see you move. And then when I see the miracle taking shape, then I'll step in. Right? We want to hold on to security until we're certain that God's going to come through. But miracles come in the middle of our obedience. They're coupled with steps of faith and acts of obedience. Now, here's this thing about this moment. Israel had some previous experience with water crossings, right? The Red Sea was famous. They were probably a little emboldened. They're like, you know what, God? Jordan River, we've done the Red Sea before. We got this. Right, and so they come to this, the Red Sea was legendary. Remember as they were being pursued by Pharaoh and God parted the Red Sea, Moses lifted his staff and the Red Sea parted in front of them and they crossed over on dry ground. They're like, you know what, God did it before so he can do it again. There's probably no doubt in their mind as the priests trudged towards the Jordan River that they were expecting the same result. And as they walked towards the water, the toes touched the water. Their ankles were in, ankle deep. They got, oh, we got soakers now, okay. Now they're up to their calves, except for now the miracle doesn't seem to be happening. Moses just raised his staff and the waters parted. Now they're in the water, ankle deep, knee deep. And there's no noticeable change. I'm thinking, hold on now. This doesn't seem to be working. Have you ever stepped out into something that you know God called you to do and you're like, this doesn't seem to be working? What does it say? It says, as soon as their feet touched the water above that point began backing up at a great distance away. Scholars believe the town of Adam was about 15 miles from where they were. And it says that God stopped the water, that it stopped like a wall, but it says that all the water from that point continued to rush past them. Feels at times that we step out in faith and we face our obstacles only to discover that it seems as though God isn't doing anything. God doesn't seem to be parting the waters like he had in the past. Not in a way that they could see. But God, it says, was doing it a great distance away. Even if you can't see it, even if it doesn't seem it, God's already upstream working on the breakthrough. I wanted to say that God's always one step ahead of you, but here he's 15 miles. I did a little research. You know I'm a nerd like that. So I thought, well, how long is a step? And a step on average for an average man is 2.5 feet. So I got looking at this. There is 31,680 steps in 15 miles. God's not only one step ahead of you, he's 31,680 steps ahead of you. Upstream, God's already 31,680 steps ahead of you, even if you don't see the results yet. He's 31,680 steps ahead of you, working on the things that you can't see, the things you can't control, the things that you can't change, the things that you've been worrying about, the things that you've been afraid of, the things that you've been avoiding. Would you say that with me? Would you say 31,680 steps. God's ahead of you. I think in this moment, knee deep in the water, the priest could have gone, this isn't working. You get that squishy like mud between your toes, or you're like, ah, you know, maybe a couple of them are like, ah, like leeches, ah, you know, I don't know. They could have turned around and said, this isn't working, and yet it says they stood there, steadfast. This morning, I want to tell you to keep standing in God's promise, even though it looks unpromising. Keep standing in God's promise, even though it looks unpromising, because God is upstream, 31,680 steps ahead of you, working on the breakthrough. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. If what? If we don't give up. I love this story. You should see my notes in my Bible. It's like a coloring book in there. It's just, and it says here in verse, it says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, chapter 4, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. From the middle of the obstacle. From the middle of that place that was too deep and too powerful for them to cross up, that obstacle. And it says, carry out from the middle these stones and place them at the place where you will camp tonight. As Israel crossed this seemingly impossible challenge, God wanted to make sure that they would never forget. So he has them carry these 12 stones out from the middle of the obstacle that they were in to build a memorial. Making these monuments and marking the moments is important for us to remember the faithfulness of God so that we can learn the lesson that he wants us to learn. See, what you carry out as God sets you free from your addiction, those stones that you carry out from you, with you. The stone that he carries out as God heals you from your brokenness. The stones that you carry out as God heals you of your hurts and your pain. The stones that you carry out as God releases you from your worries and fears will eventually become your memorial. That you look back on and say, this is what God did for me. There was a miracle in the middle of the obstacle. Your memorial becomes your motivation. You know, you'd think that if God was leading you, that everything would be smooth sailing. You're like, all right, God's got this, right? But how many know that there were more battles to be fought? Because he crossed the Jordan and yet Jericho awaited them. It wasn't going to get any easier. The challenges were only going to get harder. And so getting across the river is only the first step. Your memorial becomes your motivation. Celebrating what God did last gets you ready for what God wants to do next. God's past faithfulness fuels your future faith. And it reminds us that in God's kingdoms, obstacles are only opportunities. Obstacles are only opportunities for us to rely on God's provision and leading. Obstacles are only opportunities for us to respond to God in faith. Obstacles are only opportunities for God's bigger blessings. So even though the horizon in front of them appeared vast and intimidating, you can see what God has done as you look at that memorial. Your memorial becomes your motivation. But your memorial also becomes someone else's inspiration. Verse 6 says, you will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you'll tell them. And then you'll tell them, this is where God did a miracle. See, the stones weren't just for the people who crossed over, but they were for the people who were yet to come. There's a saying that God has no grandchildren. Each generation needs to find God for themselves, to choose to follow God for themselves. But how inspiring is it to know when you're in the midst of hardship, when you're confronting something, how inspiring is it to know that someone else has crossed here before? Someone else has gone this way before. Others have faced challenges and traversed them because of the power of God. They've made it through. Your memorial becomes someone else's inspiration. This morning I want to ask all across this place, have you experienced the presence of God leading you through challenges, through obstacles? Have you experienced his miracle today? Today, I want to ask you, what is your Jordan River right now? What's that impossible situation that you're facing? What is it that God's asking you to step into that's got you scared? Take that to God right now. Say, God, how will you lead me? And if I don't know the path, I'm going to pursue your presence. What's the faith step you've been delaying? What have you been waiting on God to see him do a miracle, and he's waiting on you to step out in obedience? Today's the day to step out, knowing that the miracle is waiting in the middle of your obedience. Maybe you're here, you've been following along God a long time. I want to ask you, what is it that God has done in your life that you've forgotten about? What are some of those past memorials that maybe you have become dusty and forgotten, left behind? What is it that God wants to remind you of today, of his past faithfulness, because he wants to fuel your future faith? This morning I've been thinking about God's provision and his leading, of his breakthrough and his blessing. And I just thought this morning that we could lend some courage to someone. I'm wondering today if there's anyone here and you've experienced God's physical healing in your life. Would you stand up this morning? If you've experienced God's physical healing in your life, maybe you're here and you've experienced God's emotional wholeness. Would you stand up this morning? You have felt God healing you emotionally. How many have been recipients of God's restoration of relationship? Would you stand up this morning? How many have ever experienced financial provision? How many have experienced spiritual transformation? How many have ever called out to God for leadership and direction and found him to be faithful? Amen. Would you look all across this room today? And maybe you're here today and you're not sure about God. Oh, you look across this room and see that God's been faithful. Maybe you're here and you're facing something. You're saying, I know he's been faithful in the past, but I'm not sure that maybe this obstacle looks too big. Maybe I'm too afraid. Don't wander outside the blessing of the promised land. Don't die in the desert like Israel did. Have the faith to follow, to step forward, because a miracle is in the middle of your obedience. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. Thank you right now as we look across this room, God, we see the power of testimony. Lord, we see a few hundred memorial markers of your blessing and miracles, God, and what you've done in the past will fuel our faith for the future. Even as a church, 100 years old, God, we have a testimony of faithfulness behind us, God, but we know that there's even greater things in front of us that we need to step into. God, for Shop of Wonders, 4 years old, 4 years of faithfulness. Today, we're stepping into a new season of faithfulness for all those people, those guests that are going to come, be ministered to for you. God, we just know, Lord, that there are so many people in our city that need to hear about you, need to experience your power and your healing and your breakthrough. God, let our lives be a memorial, Lord, of your past faithfulness. Let it fuel our future faith for what you're going to call us to do. God, would you give us courage to step out in obedience? God, if we don't know the path, some of us right now, we're not sure what to do. Some of us right now feel like we're in a holding pattern. God, if that's us today, Lord, then we're going to pursue your presence. We're going to deepen our love for you and to hear your word and spend time just in your presence, enjoying your presence, Father God. I pray, Lord, that today. Lord, this morning I pray there's anyone here and maybe this is all new to them, Lord. Maybe it's their very first day at church. They're experiencing something right now. There's a peace. There's a stirring in their heart. There's a sense that there's goodness and wholeness here. That's what we call your holiness in this place. Lord, I pray today that every person in this room would know that this is for them. Every person watching online right now would know that this is for them. This isn't just for past generations. Lord, this isn't just for a specific group of people. This is for all people. You're calling them today. This morning, every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask this question. Maybe you're here. You say, Pastor Jared, I don't know all there is to know about God, but what I'm seeing in this room right now makes me think that God's pretty awesome. And what he's done for others, maybe he could do it for me. Is there anyone you just raise your hand and say, Pastor Jared, would you pray that God would do that for me? I've given my life to Jesus. I'm going to follow him. Maybe the first time or the first time in a long time. Anyone today, you just raise your hand so that I can pray with you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you over here. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, for all those that have raised their hand, Lord, I pray that this wouldn't just be someone else's testimony. I pray it would be their story today. In the name of Jesus, we pray.